That's something I should get all of the guests to sign in. Did he tell you who voted for who? Until we go in the air, which is like, was disconnected or there was no answer. We're running out of time, so. No. Have you ever done radio? A couple of things. On the ears to hear yourself, and then this is directional mic, so talk directly into it. And if you, most people don't like things in their face. If you go like this, or like this, or like, you know, it'll cut down on the amount of sound going through by probably at least 50%. So. Well, it is 6:06, and I've got some people coming on today, that some local politicians, so we're going to have those for the next couple of days to get their story out there. Now, in the meantime, a few headlines for you. Secret Service agent exposes real Hillary. An agent has written a book. He was the one that was guarding the door apparently for years for the Clintons, and says there's two Hillarys and that the staff was terrified of her. So that's not going to be good. Muhammad Ali passes on after many years of suffering from Parkinson's disease. a national treasure. And they finally released the list of conservative targeted by the IRS. O.J. Simpson may admit to murder to get it off his conscience before after he gets out of jail. But apparently he's 300 pounds and not doing too well himself. Richard Simmons hospitalized for bizarre behavior. He's already out, and kind of a weird story there. Anyway, I think the flooding is finished in Texas, although there is still some aftermath, and we have Tropical Storm Colin is going to be sweeping through Florida, and it's going to be going up, they think, from the over the East Coast. But anyway, we do have this morning Shannon Reynolds, who is running for treasurer. And good morning, Shannon.
Good morning, Kelly.
How's it going? Anyway, give us a little bit of background on yourself. Who is Mr. Shannon Reynolds? Where are you from?
Well, Kelly, originally I was born in Kentucky. Spent about 17 years there before leaving and going out to the service. Went into the Air Force. I was in finance in the Air Force. When I got out of the Air Force, I went on to college, Illinois, graduated with a bachelor's degree in general engineering, and then I went to work in industry. So
you're an engineer?
Yes, sir.
And, okay, so you, now how do you end up out here?
Well, when I met my wife back in college in Illinois, she said she'd spent time out here in the Air Force as a jet engine mechanic at Holloman Air Force Base. So she said, you know, as soon as we can, I'd like to get back out there. So we came out the first chance we got.
Is she the one who changes the oil on the family rigs?
That's funny you should say that. She did rebuild her own engine in a Toyota truck one time. And when we got together, that was one of the common threads that we had, was to talk about how we were going to work on our cars. So, yes.
Did she put a jet engine in the family car?
No, she didn't go that far. No, she wanted to, but we couldn't figure out a way to make it fit.
I gotcha. Need a bigger car. All right. So you've had experience being an engineer.
Yes, sir.
And what was in your engineering, what did you spend time doing?
Oh, well, it's funny you should ask that because I went to work at IBM and I was a sheet metal manufacturing engineer. And then I did that for 2 years. And I went for a year as a development engineer. And then I went out into the field and I was a technical sales engineer for the next, 10 years or so. And then my career changed after that, and I basically went into management and leadership as for engineers.
Cool. All right. So, and then what led you to want to run for the treasurer here?
It started back in the last place I lived, which was Ohio. And in the community there, I was doing a lot of volunteer work, my civic duty. And one of the guys on city council asked me to run, so I did. And I won that race. I served on city council in Milford, Ohio. And I was able to get a lot of good things done, work on budgets, a lot of city council stuff, understanding government. So when I came out here, I was working on a project at Capstone Project, designing off-the-grid tiny homes for the homeless. And somebody who was already in Congress or working here in the state said, we need somebody to run for the treasurer. And so I thought about it, did some research, realized what was going on over there, and decided I needed to run.
Okay, and what are some of the issues that you think need to be addressed from the treasurer's office?
Well, that's a good one. To begin with, I think that people over there need to be treated with a little bit more respect. I understand that they're not empowered to do their job. I think they're being dictated to a little bit too much. And so I think they need to be respected and understood and listened to and allowed to do their job a little better. Other things going on over there, as far as the treasurer goes, I think that the people know how to do the job. I think it's just allowing them to do the job. But I think there's other things a treasurer can do. One example would be when you go to pay your taxes, everybody goes to the treasurer. Well, they don't know that the treasurer could actually perform some other functions. One of those is outreach to the community, and the community needs to know that the treasurer's office is there to serve them, and because after all, it is their money that's being managed by the treasurer. So my my plan is to actually provide an outreach program where we get out to the community and make sure that they understand that we are there to serve them.
All right. And so what is the job of the, just so people understand, the job of the treasurer for the county is what?
Well, the treasurer's job, if you just look at the black and white part of it, is to collect the taxes, basically account for the taxes, keep track of the money, show the, you know, take the budgets from the different organizations, and then reallocate the money based on what the budget that's provided by, like, you know, the commissioners and some other communities around the county. And then in addition to that, it's also investing. There's a responsibility that the treasurer has to invest the funds that are available in the county and to ensure that we get a good solid return and are protected. And most of the duties of the treasurer are actually laid out by the guidelines at the state level. So there's not a tremendous amount of flexibility in the actual performance of the job.
But you say that there's been a little too much micromanagement over there?
I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah, a little too much micromanagement.
Fantastic. All right. We're talking to Shannon Reynolds, and we'll take a little break here. And trying to get as many of the local candidates on as possible before the election. And I've got something for you from what they call the Concert by the Sea. It's a very, very famous, well, one of the great jazz albums of all time is by Errol Garner, who was just an unbelievable piano player, and I think Johnny Carson's favorite player. So anyway, we'll take a break here. 614 Kelly O'Connell, got Shannon Reynolds here, and on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. And Shannon, contact information for your campaign?
Yes, you can actually contact me by phone if you'd like at 575-650-7388. I know that's a wild card, but I also have a website.
One more time on the number. A lot of people won't be able to catch that.
575-650-7388. I also have a website that you can go to. It's called https://sites. That's sites.google.com/site.
Okay.
Slash Shannon Del Reynolds.
Shannon Del Reynolds. That's what a fantastic name, huh?
Thank you. I think so.
Who are you named after?
Oh, well, Shannon comes from a basketball player in Lancaster, Kentucky. My father liked basketball a lot and loved that player when I was born, and he named me after him.
Did it pay off? Were you a local basketball hero?
I was not. I was a gymnastics hero. I actually made All-State in gymnastics in high school.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it could be worse. Kelly O'Connell here, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB with Shannon Del Reynolds, and we've got a little bit of Errol Garner, Concert by the Sea, Where, When. Unbelievable. We'll be right back, folks. Shannon Del Reynolds is here with us. And all right, Shannon, so have you heard any rumors or is there any scuttlebutt on what kind of things specifically need to be changed down, or do you have any ideas for changing stuff down the treasurer's office? First of all, it's got to be a little bit sticky to come in a situation with David Gutierrez, who's being prosecuted currently by the DA.
You know, Kelly, this is really tough. You're right. It's a tough thing to talk about. You know, when we were sitting in the interview with the Sun News, all three of us, it was Eugenio Montoya Ortega and Eric Rodriguez and myself. You know, the Sun News asked Eric what was going to happen with David Gutierrez. And, you know, Eric's first reply was, you know, he's not going to come into my office if he's convicted. And they said, if he's convicted? And they said, yeah, if he's convicted. Well, you mean there is a place for him in your office if he's not convicted? And Eric said, well, Well, he kind of hesitated and finally said, well, what they wanted to hear, which is, well, yeah, there's no place for him in my office. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself first, what does that really mean? You know, I mean, what's the truth? And only Eric and David Gutierrez know that. However, I will tell you something else. In my campaigning, I ask a lot of people questions.
Well, have they been seen holding hands during lunchtime?
You mean, is there a love fest going on?
Are they close or something?
I hear rumors. I've never seen them together. But
son, this is how you proposition a woman? Yeah. Did they have that conversation?
I don't think they've had that conversation. I think what it is, I did run into a couple places where I said, I see that my opponent's sign is there. I said, do you know him well? He said, well, not really. He said, but I can tell you that David and Eric both came up here to put the sign up. That's all I heard. You know, but this is all hearsay. I can't speak to that. I did talk to some people inside because one of my platforms is to have an open office. I want to have an open door policy. And so when I was talking to a couple of people that worked inside, I said, you know, I'm going to have an open door policy. And they said, well, you know, that won't work inside the treasurer. And I said, well, why not? They said, because every time we talk about going around our management to speak to someone in another department or another level, they always put a letter of reprimand in their file. And I said, well, that's not the tyranny that I'm going to run. I said, I think everybody has a right. They should be empowered. They should be respected. They should have an opportunity to actually talk to anybody else in the office, because that's the way you empower them to do their job and get it done the best they can.
You said something off the air that I thought was kind of fascinating, and we don't see a lot of that around here. As a matter of fact, we see the opposite. You're talking about putting up information online to let people know where the money is coming in from and where it's going out to.
That's correct. Yes.
And, I mean, if you look at the county commission, they just recently had a meeting that was in a firehouse to talk about the budget that was not very well attended because I don't think a lot of people knew where it was.
Well, here's what I believe, Kelly. Now, I don't know how much influence or how much ability I'm going to have to do this, but to the best of my ability, here's what I plan to do. First thing, the money that I collect is not my money. It's the people's money. It's the citizens' money. It belongs to the county. So I think that because it's public information, it's public money, I think the public has a right to know where the money comes from and where the money goes. Now, I'm not going to go through every line item of a 160-page budget for the county and tell everybody where all the money goes. But however, there are some high-level areas where the money goes that I think people would be interested in. A good example of that is, what money is really being spent at the treasurer. I mean, at the county for policing, you know, for the county sheriff's department.
That's been a huge issue.
Exactly.
Kiki has been just going just absolutely ballistic over this. And between what Kiki is saying and with the response from the county, there is still up to this point obfuscation.
Well, if you look at the Sun News, they did publish an article just yesterday from Julian Brown that talked a little bit about that. I think everyone should visit the Sun News and read the article that Julia put out, where she did go through the budget items from 2014 and compare them to what the requested budget is for 2017. Now, understand first, the treasurer doesn't have any responsibility for actually making the budget or deciding what the budget is, but I do have the responsibility for taking the monies that are collected and then appropriately paying for the bills in the county and some other organizations around the county. So my hope is that I'll be able to actually show the citizens or answer questions of the citizens about where the money comes from and where the money goes. One good example of that is sales tax. You know, the sales tax here in Las Cruces, for instance, 5.14% goes to the state. 1.25% stays in the county and goes to the county, and the rest of it goes to the city. Now, something I've heard from other representatives to the state is that less than 30% of the 5% that goes to Santa Fe comes back to this part of the state. So we should be talking to our House of Representatives and our senators and saying, hey, can you lobby to get more of that money spent back down in this area?
That sounds fantastic. All right. And people wouldn't even associate that with the office. Let me ask you this, Shannon. Is there, based on David Gutierrez's the kind of the scandal and everything, is there a moral element to government?
Oh, I think there's a moral element to life. And I think that if you take your moral element in life and you apply that as a human being to what you do in your life and what you do in work, I think there's an obligation to a civic obligation to the citizens to you know, act appropriately. And so, yes, I think in this office, it's, you're morally obligated to do what is correct for the citizens. You know, you don't, you have to think when you're working in government and you're working on radio. I mean, you know, you think about it. Your obligation is not for anything personal. It's got to be for the people that you serve. In your case, it's your audience. In my case, it's the constituents and the people who vote me in. And so my plan is to, is one thing I'm telling everybody is this. I have a lot of really good ideas. I don't have all the ideas. So if I'm not open to the public and I don't listen to the public, I'm not going to get the other ideas that I don't have.
Okay. Well, that sounds fantastic. All right. So we're running down on time here. Let me just ask you this. Vote for Shannon Del Reynolds. Why? What's your... If people are going to go to the ballot box and treasurer is kind of an unknown or an underappreciated office, why vote for you?
Well, we need a change. Everyone says that. You know, the way things are going right now is not representative of what we want the county to be known for, or the treasurer's office for that matter. And I think if we don't look and start looking and voting for people, the moral interest, okay, the fiscal responsibility interest, the interest of trying to bring businesses in, which I also stand for, and the community, then I think we're fooling ourselves. I think my goal is to have people go to the polls with knowledge. I want them to understand their candidates, listen about their candidates, find out as much as they can, and then make a knowledgeable decision about who they vote for. I say, hey, vote for the right person. If it's not me, figure out who it is, but be knowledgeable about it. Don't go to the polls and just vote because you have to vote. I mean, know who you're going to vote for and know why. The reason to vote for me is because I'm going to bring some honesty, integrity, fiscal responsibility, and I'm also going to be serving the public. And if you think of anything I missed, you've got my phone number. You've got my website. You're going to have my email as well.
One more
time.
Please
contact me.
One more time, contact info.
My contact info, phone number, 575-650-7388. I have an email. It's Shannon. dr@gmail.com, and then my website where you can find out more information about me and also contact me is https://sites.google.com/site/Shannon Del Reynolds.
Shannon, thanks for coming on. It's been a real pleasure to meet you.
You too, Kelly. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And folks, Del Reynolds, he's running for treasurer. We'll take a break here and come back, and we're going to have Ms. Solis on for another round. And it's 6:29, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back with the next exciting candidate. Kelly here, and we do have Ms. Solis this morning, and really enjoyed her on the show previously, and so decided to bring her back. Now, I called everybody on the list pretty much, and about a quarter of them, their number was disconnected, which I found bizarre. It was off the Secretary of State's website, and Ms. Solis was telling me that the state had actually made mistakes on they had made mistakes on your contact information.
Yes, that's correct.
Good morning to you, by the way.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm not bad, but I did want to give you condolences for the tragedy in your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And her father has passed on, so certainly keep the family in the prayers. But how old was he?
He was 75 years old. He had a heart condition, so he was in and out of the hospital the last, you know, several weeks.
Yeah, but obviously he must have been a good guy. He produced you.
Absolutely. What can I say?
Yeah. But anyway, I know that's kind of hard to absorb that, especially with all the other stress going on. But how's the campaign going?
Kelly, the campaign's been going really well. I've enjoyed talking to the folks at the doors, and I've gotten really good responses. Now, people do say they're going to vote for me, so tomorrow will be proof that what they said is going to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, have you heard any other information about the race, anything that's going on?
I just believe that a lot of times the newspaper tries to align you with, I mean, the last time they tried to align me with Wayne Hancock, and sometimes they try to align you with the sheriff. And really, Kelly, this campaign is about the people of Doñana County. And it's not about aligning with anyone. It's just doing a job, just going out there. You know, I could really just stay home, you know, watch movies, go out of town, visit my family. But this is a decision I've made to be able to serve, be a public servant.
And so what has your experience been up to this point in terms of the reaction to people?
I've had really good reactions. Now, I did have one gentleman that said that he voted for Wayne Hancock.
Uh-huh.
But I told him, I said, well, you want to go ahead and keep my card because maybe you can read up about me and vote for me in the general election.
And what did he say?
He says, give me that card.
I hope he burst into tears and confessed. But all right. So, Isabel, you are a breath of fresh air to interact with. And I think that you would bring that on the county commission, wouldn't you?
I am excited about this race. It's been tough. I've been a little wounded with my daddy's passing, but he's been my inspiration. And I feel like I can rise up above this. We all go through situations and circumstances. Yeah. And so we've got a job to do.
Absolutely. Now, some of the criticisms that recently came out about Mr. Hancock is that he was telling people, even county commissioners like Ben Rawson, who comes on the show very frequently, telling them, basically, mind your own business. I'll put on I will put on the agenda what I feel like it. And if you don't like that, stuff it.
Well, this is what I am noticing about, Mr. Wayne Hancock, is that he's having a difficult time getting along with his coworker, Commissioner Ben Rawson, and apparently he has a difficult time getting along with the sheriff. So I don't know where the problem lies. Could it be Mr. Hancock that's not able?
Be. We need an ending like at The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And of course, Wayne Hancock would be in the position of the who's the guy that kind of the hawk nose and the mean guy in there, I guess the bad guy, but three-way shootout. But seriously, this is something that has concerned people. There's a few things. Number one, there's this very, not just liberal, liberal is one thing. It's an approach to government, but it's micromanaging this future plan, this 20-year plan or whatever, that really takes away a lot of the people's rights, the rights to your property, how you're going to use your land and such. And people are afraid of big government coming in and taking away, you know, farmers and such. What do you think about that? These long-term plans that we would have to be committed to that are default towards the government.
Well, I don't agree with that plan. I think that there can be some adjustments made to that. I'm sure that they had good intentions when that started, but I believe that the people should be able to use their property or their land how they wish, and it should not be curtailed in any way. A lot of those ideas, I believe, come from, you know, New York, other states, you know, that maybe have perhaps done those kind of things in the past. But this is Las Cruces. This is a beautiful county. So we don't want to do anything like that.
And we need the jobs.
And we absolutely, the jobs, absolutely, that is correct.
And a second thing is, how would you address your fellow commissioners? I mean, are you going to do it with respect as opposed to saying, if somebody contacts you, then says something along the lines that Ben Rawson and It's kind of a rhetorical question, but I mean, you know, I just find this rudeness, I'm in charge mentality is just terrible to listen to.
I think that everyone deserves respect. And if you respect, then you will get respect. But if you're not respecting the people, I don't know what to tell you that to expect.
Hit the road, Jack. All right, 6:39. We've got Isabella Solis here running for county commission. 6:39 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180. We will be right back to continue on. It's 6:42, and so we have Isabella Solis here, and I couldn't help but notice an article in the Sun News that said candidates question county's threat to tow campaign cars, and there were some campaign vehicles that were parked out in somewhere on Motel Boulevard, I guess in front of the Dona Ana County Government Center, with signs in there, and then they were ticketed. And the county said, we're going to tow these away if you don't move them. What happened, Isabella?
Well, I got a notice on Tuesday saying that I was not allowed to park the vehicle there. And they did quote some statute. But what I know as a paralegal, that if you're going to quote a statute, that you have to make sure that you have the correct one.
Uh-huh.
Because according to Chavez, he is the chief of the Las Cruces codes enforcement, and he said that there's nothing in the political signs section of the ordinance that prohibits a sign on a parked vehicle as long as the car is legally parked. So, but we got that notice on Tuesday, and
who put the notice there?
I have no idea. It was not signed. It was just put on my vehicle, and so my husband and I, we didn't want any trouble. And we didn't want to have to pay in case they towed our vehicle.
Well, and you didn't want Julia Brown to borrow your vehicle for a year.
Well, maybe not.
So you moved it, but that had to be frustrating.
I was a little irritated at first when we got the notice. I felt like, is this harassment or is this abuse of power?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little upset about that.
And it just kind of reaffirmed in your mind that the county commission was taking on powers that were not delegated to it.
That's right. Absolutely. That they were just taking things into their own hands. And I just don't think that that's correct. I think we need a change in our county.
We need a change. But this goes along also with your theme of due process, and that the county is not acting constitutionally, is not acting with due process, is not treating people fairly in giving them the rights that they're due.
That's right. And I think that, you know, there was one woman that changed things in our country, and she took prayer out of school, Miss O'Hara.
And she ended up dead in a desert somewhere, didn't she?
That's right. So what I'm saying is, you know, people need to rise up and stand up for what is right in our country and in our county.
And, I appreciate you bringing that up. And it does seem like we've been infested with carpetbaggers.
Well, you know, I think that what we need in our county is people that live in this county to rise up and walk and step into those places.
Let's take our county back. In other
That's
words,
that's right. Take our county back.
We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Richard Borella. I have a question for Isabella Solis.
Okay. Hey, Richard, could you turn down your radio because it's echoing a little bit?
Sorry, I forgot about that.
No problem, Richard. How's it going?
Well, pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a little while. What's going on?
Well, Ms. Lisa mentioned a harassment statute. I'd like to know more about that, if there is actually a harassment statute on the book.
Isabella, do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I was just irritated with the notice and the statute that they used in that notice, and I did not search that statute out.
Right. I'm not able to. But that's a very interesting concept, that what you described happens a lot around here, at least to me. You know, just different circumstances and details. So I was really interested in that concept of harassment.
Well, we'll have to look into it and look into the statute and then get back with some information for you, Richard. Anything else?
That would be great. No, that's it. I was interested, and I felt I should call about that.
Okay, thanks a lot, Richard. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye. All right, 6:46, let's take a break here. We've got Isabella Solis, and we're just finding out even more things that are infuriating about the county. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, 805-6180. And Isabella, how do people contact you?
They can call me at 575-312-6511, or they can email me at voteforisabellasolis2016 at gmail.com.
Thank you. And it's not too late to volunteer to walk or hold signs, that type of thing. Have a sign in the yard.
Absolutely. I welcome that.
Okay. We'll be right back at 647. It's 6:50, and we are, of course, mourning the passing of Muhammad Ali. What a champion, huh? But we've got Isabella Solis here. And Isabella, give us your argument. Why vote for Ms. Solis? Why not go for the competition? What would you bring to the county commission that's not already there?
The reason I'm running for office is because I want to be a voice for the people of Doñana County. And I want to be able to stand up and say, this is what the people are saying. I don't have a personal agenda. I have the minds of the people in my heart to be able to be that voice for the county. And I would also like to be able to see the accountability of the government restored back to the people of Doñana.
Yes. And maybe even give a symbolic slap into the face of some of these tyrants on the county commission. What have you heard when you've talked to people, what is some of the recurring themes that you've heard when you've been gone door to door?
Some of the people are saying that they're disappointed in our government and in the way, the chairperson is actually running things and not following the rules of order, you know, and of course we've heard that story from, Ben Rawson shared that with us, you know, and that is one of the key issues that they're disappointed.
Disappointed, and they're also probably frustrated over what goes on between the county commission and the sheriff's office.
There is great disappointment in that as well. So I would like to be able to see this county restored. Let's have more professionalism, stop being little children about things, and restore that integrity that we need. This is a beautiful county to live in, and people, I don't want people to come into this county and see that we're acting like children, but let's have integrity.
Mm-hmm. And will you be available if we'll try to contact the commission?
I am available now because every time I get a phone call, they leave me a voicemail, I can usually tell whether they're just leaving me a voicemail. I don't have to call back. But I still call. I return all my phone calls. And, yes, I will be available for the people. That's why I'm running.
There has been many stories about even after some of the flooding and stuff that happened where – people tried to call their commissioner, people living out in the county. They couldn't get a hold of their commissioner. And so then Ben Rawson put together meetings for people and let the commissioners know. And the commissioner snarled at him, thank you, I'll take over now. I mean, this terrible sense that people are running for office because they want other people to look up to them, maybe even to think that they're I don't know what it is. It's just disappointing to hear that type of thing. And I think that's why people are frustrated.
Yes, and, a lot of people run for office for different reasons. It could be their personal agenda. It could be notoriety, whatever it is that they have in their heart. But I am running for county office because I want to be able to be a public servant. It's not about me, but it's about the people of Doñana.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is O.
Oh, thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
You know, I just I'm hearing this lady talk about, you know, she's wanting to do it for the people. You know, what is it?
Well, she's saying that the people are looking for representative government to owe the leadership this year and last year for the county commission has been two people that came from the outside. From my understanding, it was the current commissioner, Wayne Hancock, had been in town for a month when he decided to run for county commission. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that's about the right way to go, because we get a lot of people that come in here. They're not even locals and don't even understand what the people actually want. They don't go out there and talk to the people. It sounds like this lady's been out there walking around and, you know, trying to figure out what it is that we need.
We need more
people to do that.
Do you live out in the county?
I sure do.
And what's your feeling about your representation? What's your feeling about what's going on in the county commission?
Well, I mean, first of all, up where I live in county, I see taxes go up, and I don't see nothing getting done. You know, they build parks. They don't leave them with no grass. It's just, you know, there are a whole bunch of sandlots that we got going up the hill. The roads have not been fixed. You know, they always throw this that if the roads have a red sign on it, they're county, so therefore they don't got to fix them. You know, we've been living over there for years, and nothing's getting done, but our taxes keep going up. That's just what I don't understand.
Outrageous. Isabella, anything you'd like to say to this young man?
You know, I can relate to what he is saying, because I've been out to talking to the people out in Butterfield, Oregon, and those communities out there, and I hear that same story repeated. There's a one woman that said, you know, she's lived in the area for 10 years, and they've needed roads for 10 years. They've needed lighting for 10 years. And so I want to be able to represent the people and say, look, these people out in the county, they need roads. They need natural gas. There are needs out there. And so we need to be able to prioritize those needs in this county.
That sounds about right. You know, and Ms. Solis, just so you know, anybody that goes to Mr. Kelly O'Connell's show and speaks on what they're wanting to do, I feel they are people that are, you know, that are not scared to go out there and speak to the people. So therefore, you know, either they're all welcome to put a sign in my house.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And what's your contact info one more time for anybody else who wants to sign?
My name is Isabella, and my number is 575-312-6511, and you can call me if you need a sign.
Thank you, O. Great call. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Okay, running out of time here, but great to have you on. And Isabella, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, voice of the people is the voice of God.
There you go, Kelly.
Thanks for coming on, and good luck in the race, and come back when you win.
I sure will. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, we'll take you out here in just a minute with a little more Errol Garner, but got Oscar out waiting for the to come in for his 15 minutes of fame here, and I tried to get a hold of people. I was amazed at how many numbers had been disconnected, and yet at the same time, Ms. Solis had said that they made mistakes on the county or the state website on people's contact information, and so you know, anything's possible. Anyway, we lost a legend. We lost Muhammad Ali, and he was a person who, I guess, was probably more memorable for his personality and his poetic nature. But he was a phenomenal fighter. You go on to YouTube and just put Muhammad Ali in there and search, you'll find they've got clips in there of incredible fights where he just seems so much better than anybody else. And we've got a book that just came out, The Inner Life of Bill and Hillary, and Hillary had given a black eye to Bill for some reason, that she was a tyrant, that she had two personalities. One of them was real nice and the other one was just terrifying, and that the staff at the White House was sick with anxiety, never knowing which side would come out. 6:58, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back with more candidates. Well, good morning. It's 7:06, and it is the sixth day, sixth month of halfway through the year of the year of 2016. And your temperature outside is 69 degrees. Is going to be a little bit warmer. We did have some rain last night. I have on the show Oscar Vasquez Butler, and he's running for District 36. And it's great to have you in the studio, Oscar, and on short notice. So good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and thank you, Kelly, for the invitation.
Sure. And now you people will be familiar with your name, and will have known about some of your exploits. But why don't we give people who may not be familiar a little bit of background on yourself? Where are you from? Because I just got done reading some of your biography. That's pretty interesting, and I'm just wondering, well, what have you done in the county? What positions have you held in the county?
Well, I passed county commissioner. I was 2-term county commissioner.
And you were the chair.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And from that, I also was the president of New Mexico Association of Counties, which I presided over 33 counties in the state. And in that capacity, we developed legislation from the clerks, the assessors, the treasurers, the sheriff's department, and presented those before the legislature, lobbied for them. Yeah, had quite an experience as a commissioner.
Yeah, I mean that's phenomenal. And then you have done some other things as well, which are what are some of the other things related to water and that type of thing?
Well, when I retired here in 1995, I started getting involved with the politics in Doñana, the village of Doñana, and was soon elected board of the Doñana Mutual Domestic Water Association, which then evolved to be the president of the Water Association. And I was in that capacity for about 6 years. And during that time, heard a lot of complaints about rate increases, about water breaks, about lack of grants. And people in general talked to me about the problems in the county. And having interacted with certain individuals in the county regarding the wastewater system there in Doñana, the village, village members weren't hooking up, and the lift station being in the village and not being part of the water system, it got me more involved into the politics with the county. So I eventually ran for county commissioner, and in 2002, was elected in 2003, and while I was there, I established the Colonias Initiative. The Colonia is really a rural community outside of city limits, that is lacking in infrastructure, whether it be, you know, insufficient water pressure or sewerage or roads or lights, but in general, the marginalized in the community.
Okay, and so, I assume that you kind of learned this county inside and out from being on the county commission.
I like to think I did. But what's been going on in the county, I don't know if I really knew what the county's going on.
Could you comment a little bit on that as compared to when you were running things? And it just seems so dysfunctional now. There's a lot of anger out there. There is a fair amount of confusion in the voters' minds and the residents as to what's going on in the county.
Well, you know, when I became commissioner and joined the Association of Counties, we went through a training on commissioners. And then being active on the board, we had a different manager than Brian Haynes. He was the previous auditor of the county, and we hired him. And Brian pretty well knew the county, its ins and outs, in terms of the budget, because he was the auditor. And he worked closely with the commissioners as to, you know, where the funds were, where we were to appropriate them, you might say, making recommendations to meet the county budget and the state budget, et cetera. So we had a team approach to things, the commissioners with the other department heads, and I think there was more esprit de corps between the elected officials and the county commissioners. We were trying to act as more of a team, as I mentioned. And so I had a very good experience as a commissioner. We didn't have that kind of, with their different parties, of course.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that distinct, you might say, combative approach to the budget, mm-hmm. or working with the commissioners. We had a very good time.
Yeah, and they recently had a meeting on the budget, and it was held in a firehouse. And from what I understand, not a lot of people were there. It was an important meeting, but that possibly just because people didn't know where it was. I'm thinking, how can you have an open government, you know, if you're doing things like that?
Well, I would see that as a problem, because depending on the firehouse, it could be in a distinct community with it far from many, maybe not insufficient parking.
Actually, I think it was the fire training center, which I don't even know where that is. But okay, so what things would you like to pursue if you got into the Senate?
Many of the things that I want to pursue, the things that were left undone after I left the county, as I mentioned, outside of the city limits, I don't believe many elected officials pay attention to those rural communities. We still have a lot of problems. Currently, I'm on the board with Avante. It's an early education, childhood early education program, and we're working with the rural communities and trying to work with families, the parents and children, to get them a head start on education. I know I get involved with the community centers, particularly in Radium Springs. We've had a difficulty with the county, in fact, closing down the centers to access for elderly people. And the elderly people are a big part of our community outside, well, both inside of the city and outside the city. And when I say close down the centers, many of the activities that are being denied to them in terms of crocheting or playing bridge or just meeting to have a social hour, to me, it has a psychological effect, that inability to socially interact with others. I'm very much concerned with infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the rural communities, many of them lacking infrastructure.
And that's a big issue. Some people arguing that if they wanted infrastructure, they should get incorporated. Other people seeing them more as being, you know, victimized by having, living in these communities that don't have the same level of representation and don't have the same level of infrastructure or of organization.
That's exactly it. I mean, organization, you have rural communities living in, you may describe as third world conditions. Many of them are farm workers, labor. Many of them are service workers. They really don't have that need to organize. They're trying to provide for their daily life.
They're trying to survive.
Right.
They're humble people.
They're humble people, and so they really rely on county government or city government to provide the infrastructure needed. But when you look, or if you visited Rodi or Milagro or Rincon or Doñana, I mean, you're looking at folks that are just working people. And so to that end, and campaigning as a commissioner and even now as a senator, I believe that if we did really an infrastructure plan for the county and we talk about jobs, well, that is a way of creating jobs, because people will be put to work, whether it's engineer or backhoe operators or water people that are just digging trenches. We're going to put a lot of people to work, and we're going to improve our county. Look at business. Many businesses don't come out to the county because, or to the area, you might say, because there's lack of infrastructure. You know, you want a big company coming out to have jobs for the communities, and yet if you don't have the water pressure, you don't have the streets, you don't have the lights, you don't have the infrastructure in place, business is not going to come to this county. And if you look at the status of this county at a national level, where we're first in poverty, first in unemployment.
Terrible.
First, yeah, it's terrible. So something hasn't been done either.
And you see these floods come in and wash out their roads. They can't even during these emergencies, they can't even get out if they need to. It's just, it's frustrating, you know, and I know people look down on them because they're not incorporated, but, you know, I mean, they're still residents of the state.
Part about that being residents of the state, but more importantly residents of the county, where the county in the past would allow subdivisions and development to be built in front of arroyos, a natural flowing arroyo or that's coming down off the mountainside right into their communities. That 2005 year storm that happened in Vado, and which just totally wiped out the infrastructure in there, that was foreseeable. Had they not built that community in front of Arroyos, and they're still doing it. If you go to the East Mesa, you'll see homes that are built in front of Arroyos.
Yeah.
We'll have
disaster waiting to happen.
Yes, sir.
We're talking to Oscar Vasquez Butler, and you know, I just want to point out, I asked your opponent in the primary to come on, and he did a no call, no show, which I think is very disrespectful to the listeners. And it just strikes me that you seem, although you're a very accomplished person, you seem pretty down to earth, and especially you're working, you know, you're doing what you can to give back to the community. And it's impressive to hear about that.
Well, thank you. And the reason for that is that, you know, I came from poverty and large family. At one time, my mom and our family, we had as many as 24 living in one home. You know, that's aunts and uncles and cousins.
That's two sides of that you could play a full baseball.
There you go. But keep in mind that also that having experienced that, going to bed hungry at times, gave me a different perspective and different values in terms of how do I interact with people and what do I want to do.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I had a professor that told me, Oscar, you know, the difference that makes a difference is the difference. Sounds kind of redundant, but that's what I'd like to do, is make a difference in my community, and hopefully that being more proactive, pro-people, pro-community, that we can all grow together. And what I like to really demonstrate as a leader is that I can inspire hope.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. And some of this masterpiece from Errol Garner, Concert by the Sea, one of the greatest jazz albums ever recorded, and was recorded by the military, a military guy without permission on accident. So lucky to have it. 718, and we will be right back.
Great. And they still went ahead in December and renewed her contract for 1 year. My understanding from speaking to Commissioner Rawson, that Commissioner Rawson has been attempting to evaluate the county manager the last couple months, but has been blocked by Commissioner Hancock and Commissioner Garcia. And I think Commissioner Butler has hit this right on the head, that it's the county manager needs to be evaluated.
That sounds reasonable.
And I might add to that, Robert, is that management level positions, HR director or county manager, typically there's a provision within the contract that says they're at will employees. At will means that the commissioners or the manager or that HR position can insist or review their performance based on what's been going on and terminate their employment at will. Now, if they have valid justification, and depending within the contract, if some of these lawsuits are prevailing in the courts, that to me shows some justification for using that as a basis of documenting performance from within the county. And if that's sufficient enough to terminate one's employment, that should be the course they should take.
Robert, was there anything else?
Kelly, I would just end it with thanking Commissioner Butler for his service. And, you know, just also bringing up the fact that, as he says, when you have these lawsuits, and you know, they had last month, they had a $450,000 settlement with this young lady, Veronica Apodaca, which shows that they didn't even go to court. So there must have been some substantial evidence county had violated, you know, her civil rights or her EEOC rights.
Yeah, and it's like Groundhog Day. There's these lawsuits just keep coming up. One of the things that I'd like to bring up, though, since you're on this, there was a rainy day fund, Commissioner Butler, and the rainy day fund is being dissipated. And according to what I've heard, it's the county commissioners believe they have a responsibility to spend the money, which I find absolutely crazy. I mean, it is a contradiction of the idea rainy day fund. What's your response to that?
Well, that rainy day fund, if you're talking about, there's a state requirement of having a reserve fund for the county just for emergencies and needs to offset their budget deficits. That would be crazy, because I believe the state was 2/12 of the budget, and then our previous county manager had an extra 1/12 in there, so it would be 3/12 of the budget that he would utilize as a reserve fund to address the needs of the county, which would mean like county sheriff vehicles or additional compensation salary for employees.
So a lot of this stuff could be taken care of out of this deficit spending of this rainy day fund. Yeah, but we still have this battle between. It just seems like this stuff is happening in such a way. It just destroys the morale of this area to watch this day after day. Robert, I've got another call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Chris.
Thanks for the call, Chris. And what's on your mind?
You know, it pretty much comes down to anybody that's listening here. Get all these problem people that are in our county government and these career politicians, they got to go. We need some fresh blood. We need some new ways of thinking. We need to get up with the times and quit all this nonsense that's costing all of us a lot of money, a lot of productivity. We just need to clean house as voters. And if we don't go out and do our right as a voter, then you know what? We got no room to complain, and we just need to suck it up and deal with it. But people, please get out and vote. Let's get these people out of office, because they don't deserve to be in there.
Thanks for the great call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Kathy.
Kathy, can I put you on hold, and we'll be back in just
sure.
a minute? Thank you. All right, folks. Got Commissioner Butler here. He's running for 36 in the Senate, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180 to text. We will be right back. And as I mentioned, listening to one of the great all-time jazz albums, Concert by the Sea, Errol Garner. Hey, this is Kelly.
This is Cindy, and I've never called
Cindy,
before, but I'd like to make some comments.
Cindy, can I put you on hold?
Sure.
It'll just be 1 minute. Don't hang up.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. She's never called in before. See, you're stirring up the hornet's nest. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That's it. This country was founded on the idea of servant leadership. And I mean, the founding fathers were not perfect people, but they risked everything to build the foundation for the country. And this idea that we're going to get in these people that are, it frustrates me to hear that Wayne Hancock was here for 1 month before he decided to run for the county commission. He still doesn't know what the population of the county is. Of course he doesn't. Yeah, he is. I mean, like the way he talks to people.
Wait,
Folks, we're having a great show here with Oscar Vasquez Butler, and we've got some phone calls. And Kathy, is that you?
Good morning. Yes, you know, on Friday there was a forum in Sunland, and we had the commissioners there, Commissioner Garcia, his opponent, Gonzalez. We had State Rep, we had Gomez, we had Lara, and we had Maxwell. And the topic came up about arsenic in our water that we're drinking in Sunland and Santa Teresa. And Commissioner Garcia actually blamed us residents that we were at fault that there was arsenic in our water. We've been drinking arsenic 3 years, and he's not done anything. He sat on it. He's not done anything. The one that did call him on it was Maxwell. Maxwell called him on it. He called Gomez on it. And let me tell you, I'm very upset and I take offense that this Commissioner Garcia blames us. And at the end, I want to tell you that under his breath, he called us that we are beasts.
Beasts?
In Spanish. A beast.
What's the Spanish term for beast?
Bestia. Bestia. That we were bestia. That we are all beasts.
He's lucky that the crowd didn't turn on him and tear him to bits.
Let me tell you, they were getting angry. We were getting angry. And it's appalling that you have a commissioner that's been sitting there protecting Julia Brown, Deborah Weir, and not giving any consideration to public safety. And yet he comes and sits at our town meeting and he says to elect him. Yet he turns around and he tells us to our face that we are to blame, that we are drinking poison water. We're going to become another Hinckley in California, another Michigan, and he doesn't care. And I'm telling you, he's only worried about his retirement money. He wants to be 100% vested, because if he loses, that's it. The county does not match his retirement.
Well, he probably goes home and bathes in bottled water. Anything else?
You know what? He doesn't. You know what? He doesn't drink water from Santa Teresa or Sunland. He lives in Chaparral, so he gets his water somewhere else. Yet Maxwell drinks water from Santa Teresa because he lives in Santa Teresa. So I want to ask Commissioner Garcia, where are you getting your water from?
Well, you know,
it's upsetting, Callie. It is upsetting, Mr. Vasquez, that you have people like Commissioner Garcia that don't care about us citizens. They're just politicians.
Well, let me just say one thing. I think that his point of view in terms of blaming the community for arsenic, which is part of a natural contaminant in the ground, he should be more concerned about the health of the community and the children.
Shame on you, Dr. Garcia.
And he should be pursuing grants from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I sit on the Colonias Infrastructure Board, and I have not received we have not received an application from the county regarding the problems down in the South Valley. And that's what that board was formed for, to provide assistance to communities that are lacking in infrastructure. And in this case, it may be a treatment plant that's necessary down there to treat the arsenic in the ground. The arsenic coming from, say, a natural volcanic kind of residue that came about because this area was filled with volcanoes at one time. So it's a natural contaminant of the groundwater, and there are standards, EPA standards, USDA standards, that the county should be preoccupied about meeting the standards and not blaming people for the problem.
And not calling people beasts. He ought to be.
Yes, and one more thing, Kelly. You know what he said also? He was protecting Crua, that Crua was not doing anything. Those workers knew the pumps were not working, and they did not say anything. Finally, it had to come up, and they had to get exposed. And finally, they're taking some kind of responsibility. But even at that, Dr. Garcia is saying that Crua is not to blame. They're doing their job, and that it is your fault, you residents.
Terrible.
And he said it in Spanish, mi gente, my people, it is your fault.
That's terrible. I gotta go. I got more calls. Good call. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Is Cindy, is that you?
Yes, it is. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the call. First-time caller, and what's on your mind?
You know, I just couldn't help but call. You know, I'm calling about the Doniana County Manager that handles our county budget. And, you know, she cannot even keep her own personal finances in check. This is public record, and I'm not to throw this out there. But, you know, I don't know if residents realize that Julia Brown filed bankruptcy in the past, and she has a $37,000 lien on her multimillion-dollar home. And, you know, that really bothers me. We are – this is a county manager that can't even, you know, handle her own finances. What do you both have to say about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything, and I feel sorry for anybody who files for bankruptcy, but she seems like a loose cannon to me. And I don't know her, but should she – it has been confirmed she took somebody's car for a year, and that person ended up selling that car to someone else. I think that whole situation down at the county commission is nuts.
You know, I did too. And I also heard that Wayne Hancock has filed bankruptcy twice. And so I'm just wondering, maybe that's the whole problem.
Maybe they met at a bankruptcy clinic.
Yes. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And I just want to say best wishes to Oscar Butler. I've heard his name for many years and he's done a great job.
Very impressive. Very impressive resume, but thanks for the call, Cindy. Keep calling in.
Thank you.
Well, this is a fantastic show, Oscar.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Kelly. I mean, I really enjoyed being here today.
Yeah, well, I mean, I should have done it a long time ago. Part of the thing of moving, and I moved here in 2008, is you don't know the history of everything, but let's take a little break here. We have James Dickens. You want to make a final statement about your campaign?
Just get out the vote. I'm really looking forward to their support. I'm here to serve them. The track record that I set as a county commissioner and serving the people in my communities or our communities has been the model that I've used, and I can assure them that I will continue with that. And I'm looking forward to their support for my candidacy for Senate District 36, and please get out and vote tomorrow for me. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on at the last minute. All right, folks, we'll take a break here. 7:43. We have James Dickens in the wings. We'll be right back. Unbelievable interview with Oscar Vasquez Butler, and we've got James Dickens here. James, thanks for coming back. I've tried to get Mark back on the show, and for whatever reason, either he's not interested or he's too busy, but I just wanted to get some representation on the DA's office because it's so important. Number one law position in the county, and there's been a lot of criticism out there. I've got a lot of friends at the DA's office. I'm reluctant to criticize, but there has been a lot of controversy this year.
Absolutely. And when I do my talking in public and talking about the dismissal rate, the decline rate, the fact that simply cases aren't getting through, I'm not criticizing the line attorneys, the attorneys who are going out there and fighting their best. It comes down to a management issue, because when you see a big influx of cases being declined, dismissed, bled down, that comes from the top. That's not an issue of an individual attorney. That's an issue of the sort of the mentality of the office as a whole. And that's what I want to get in there and change, to make sure that the victims' rights are being protected by each and every attorney.
What is your main concern when you're thinking about the last the tenure of this last 4 years?
Well, I've talked a lot about the dismissal of the first-degree murder cases. Those are obviously extremely important. Nothing more serious than somebody who's gone out there and specifically chosen to take a life. So far, they've convicted only one out of 10. Obviously, the Chan trial is going on right now, and I wish all the attorneys in that the best and that justice would happen. But beyond those cases, I'm looking at domestic violence cases and child abuse cases, because these are the people who are day in, day out living this, living the violence. When we talk about child abuse, we're talking about those who simply cannot protect themselves in any way, shape, or form. So it has to be incumbent on the prosecutor to come in and protect those. And even on those cases, we're looking at a dismissal rate of those top counts above 50%. So even more than just the common run-of-the-mill cases, he's actually shooting above 50% dismissal rate of those top counts of domestic violence and child abuse. And there's just no way that's going to make us any safer.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
My name is Robin.
Good morning, Robin. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great, great. I'm just listening to your show as I do every day, and I just find it pretty hypocritical that Mr. Dickens is bringing up Mark D'Antonio's prosecution rate when this is the same prosecutor in management under Amy Orlando's administration that walked off the job, didn't turn back and consider victims who were lingering, waiting for their cases to be prosecuted. This is the same man who walked off the job and left Mark D'Antonio with a caseload that had been lingering for years under Amy and Susanna's administration.
Well, let me ask you one thing, Robin, and I'll let James answer, but he wasn't running the DA's office at that point.
No, but he was in management. He was one of Amy's senior prosecutors, was he not?
Yeah, but James, what's your response?
Certainly. Well, the decision to leave the DA's office was actually an extremely hard one for me, but there was many things that went into it. First and foremost, I was a father of three kids at that time. We've now adopted our fourth. I was the sole bread earner for our family. And Mr. D'Antonio had not offered me a job and,
okay,
in fact, had not interviewed anybody in the office until probably the middle of December. As we are all at-will employees, I had to look elsewhere to make sure that I had a job, and therefore I went to Otero County and got a job there. And by the time I had accepted that job in Otero County, Mr. D'Antonio still had not interviewed anybody at the office, given anybody an indication of whether they had a job or not. The only thing I knew was that he was coming in with two chief deputies, and therefore clearly my position had been filled, and therefore being an at-will employee, I had to move on. But the decision to leave Doña County was...
Let me ask you this, Mr. Dickens. You indicated, or your first reason for leaving the DA's office was because you were a father of three children, and now you're a father of four children. What makes you think then that you're going to be available to the DA's office as a district attorney with four kids now?
Ma'am, the decision to be a district attorney, obviously it is a more than a 40-hour-a-week job, but my children are very experienced, I guess you might say, having a father that's putting in more than 40 hours. Ever since I became a prosecutor, I make myself available around the clock for officers, make myself around the clock for crimes that occurred so I can go out to the scene. So absolutely I can handle and juggle the requirements of being a father as well as being a district attorney.
Well, the only reason I mentioned that is because you used that as the first reason as to why you left the dean's office.
Robin,
you left
Robin, we're running out of time here. I think you've made your point, but I got three ads I got to play, and Mr. Dickens has barely been on because Oscar stayed over because it was so popular. Thanks for the call. Have a great day. All right, folks, we'll take a break here and be right back.
Investments in securities involves the risk of...
All right. It is 7:54. It is 7:54. We've got an election tomorrow. I'm going to call out to James Dickens, who's in the studio, and Mark D'Antonio. Both guys said they wanted to do a debate. Let's do a debate live tomorrow. Are you up for it?
Absolutely. No problem.
And Mark, I know you're listening, so let's do a debate. You said you wanted to do a debate, but not too early. You wanted to wait a little bit. Let's do a debate tomorrow on this show from 6 to we can do it from 6 to 8, or we can at least do it 6 to 7. And we can do that. All right, so James Dickens, you're running for DA. Your top reasons?
Top reasons are simply that we need to make the community safer. The current district attorney is wanting to talk about anything but his conviction rate, anything but about all the cases he's dropping, dismissing. That last caller was a clear example of what Mr. D'Antonio and his supporters want to do. They want to talk about anything, but the dismissal rate and how it's making us less safe as a community. In fact, just yesterday, ABC News reached out to me to do an interview. I was happy to do that. Called them back and was told that, unfortunately, Mr. D'Antonio had not responded to them, and they didn't want to interview one opponent without the other one there. So, the people are being deprived of information that they need in order to make a valid choice to come tomorrow.
I like Mark. Mark's a likable guy. He's treated me the same in public as in private, but that's not what we're talking about today. What kind of a job has Mark done, in your opinion, James?
Mark simply is mismanaging the office. He's not keeping the staff. He's gone through chief deputy after chief deputy. He keeps losing attorneys. He keeps losing staff. And that's reflected in his conviction rate. And it's not making our protecting our victims' rights or making us any safer or healthier of a community.
Now, you mentioned earlier protecting children. We've just got a couple of minutes. Could you develop that a little more?
Absolutely. When you look at a segment of society that cannot protect themselves, that cannot be a voice for themselves, that cannot stand up for themselves, the children obviously are the quintessential segment of society that is in need of a prosecutor, in need of a strong prosecutor, in need of a strong advocate. And so when I look at the child abuse cases charged and resolved under Mr. D'Antonio, it's above 60% of those top counts that are being declined, dismissed, or acquitted. And so over 60%, over half of his cases of this segment of these child abuse cases, we're not getting justice for these children. And that affects the child for the rest of their life. When we look at the reasons that a child becomes successful, either as a child or as an adult, it's not education. It's not income of the family. That's often put out there. It's actually a sense of security. If a child is always having to be hypervigilant, always having to be on their guard, always worried about what mom and dad are going to do, what grandpa or uncle are going to do, that child is not able to concentrate at school.
Cannot thrive.
That's right.
Cannot thrive.
And so that's going to affect them for the rest of their life and, quite frankly, also teach them that's how they're supposed to behave when they become parents.
Is justice important to children?
Absolutely. Probably for children more than anybody else.
James, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we're going to have a debate here tomorrow.
I certainly hope so.
6 to 7. Mark D'Antonio, do you hear me? Ready? Or gird your loins. Ready yourself. And a contact information for your campaign?
Certainly. It's Dickens4DA@gmail.com, and the 4 is the number 4. Or call me at 575-642-7300. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. All right, folks. And we're out of time here, but I've got some people coming on tomorrow as well. And anyway, 7:50, basically 7:59. This Concert by the Sea, unbelievable. Errol Garner. Have a great day. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. Ciao. Meet you back in 22 hours. Thank you.
Thank you.